Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. We start at 7:01. The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Bono?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton? Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Tickton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Here. Good evening. It's nice to see so many smiling faces. I get to open, as I do from time to time, so I'm going to make this fairly short. At the last meeting, Mr. Gary Shiner made a couple of comments and had some questions, and I realized on reflection that we, or I, may have failed to convey some basic facts about our most recent and upcoming referenda. I spoke to Mr. Shiner, and I want to make sure that all residents understand these basics. Some of the governing body has received some heat for not putting a no option in the last referendum. And in many cases, this results from a fundamental misunderstanding of the options offered to you. So I'm going to read this, but it'll also be up on the screen for those of you who are more visually inclined, if I don't screw it up. Okay. The two primary workable options offered to us by the Emergency Services Committee were to build a four-bay facility for fire and first aid and to keep our fire department. The second was to build a two-bay facility for first aid and to dissolve our fire department and to contract with Millstone for fire department services. Okay, I'm not so good at this. New. Joe, I should have had you do this.
You got to go back to...
Okay. In order to authorize a bond, in order to fund either option, we need to borrow money by issuing a bond. In order to authorize a bond, we need to know what the bond funds, the loan funds, are going to be used for, a two-bay or a four-bay. So we asked you in a referendum whether, if the bond is approved, whether you wanted us to use the proceeds for a two or a three-bay.
Four-bay.
Yeah, I get confused. You voted, I should stick with my notes, you voted 268-68 in favor of building a four-bay building and keeping our fire department. The bond specifies that it is for a four-bay facility. That would be two for fire, two for first aid. Maybe I should just read it to you. Okay. The last referendum was solely for you to tell us what the bond proceeds should be used for if, very large, if the bond is approved by the residents on March 14th. This means a no vote would not have meant no bond. It would simply have meant no preference, in which case the decision would have been left up to five council people. And I would like to note that those are the same five council people who approved the bond in the first place. But this being a contentious issue, we thought it best to go out to the public. If you do not want the town to issue a bond, you can simply vote no on March 14th. That's where your no vote comes in. There seems to have been a lot of confusion about whether or not we should have included a no vote, what it means. The yes or no vote is March 14th on the bond. What we do with the money if the bond is approved is what you voted on in the last referendum. So, if you vote yes and uphold the bond, we will build a four-bay building. That's specified in the bond. If the bond is voted down, our agreements with PIOSH, the State Fire Marshal, and JIF will cease, the state will have the right to re-implement daily fines, and we will probably proceed to contract with Millstone. Not sure what we're going to do about first aid, but we'll deal with it. The second item is we keep getting confused about this pole building. What's that? Closer to the microphone. Okay. We keep getting confused about the pole building. When we talk about building a pole building, apparently some people think that we're talking about spending $571,000 to $600,000 for the building. That's not it. The building is $140,000 to $160,000. Everything else is for the ventilation systems, the network, the electric, all the things that go into making a firehouse a firehouse. So that $600,000 combined with the equipment that we have now will make this a fully functioning firehouse and first aid squad. And on that, I think I'm done. I don't know how many of you picked up the comments and responses. There was a 2 meetings ago we were told that we were going to get a report on a meeting with the fire marshal. We received that last week. Those of you who noticed, there is a pile of both that letter and the borough's response. I don't know if you picked it up on the way in. Okay, so the council people looked at me blankly.
Yes.
There are more up there. Right?
I'll give it to you.
And I have them for you as well. We're not going to go through them line by line. You can read them yourselves. You can all read. You're all intelligent people. If you have any questions, there are some slides up there that talk about the breakdown of the price, the structure of the building, the design. Hang on. We've lost our clerk for a moment, so if you just give us a couple of seconds here. Well, in the interim, while we're doing that, I did a couple more slides. There's been some discussion about how far the various neighboring emergency squads are, both fire and first aid. I went out and I drove them, but I also went on Google, and I figured since somebody would ask me to do it in writing, I'm going to show you the distances. Distance from Roosevelt Center to Hightstown Fire Department is 5.3 miles. The distance from us to Monroe, which is the Halsey Reed Station, which is the paid station, is 6 miles, and I'm picking all the shortest routes. And the distance from our town center to Millstone is 3 miles. So according to Google, it's 5 minutes to Millstone and 10 minutes to the other two. And last, I'll leave up a slide of the actual design of the building that is attached to the bond.
What do you want with this paper? Are we going to discuss this at some point? And you just handed it out. Is there going to be a discussion period?
You sure?
Okay.
Now we're just waiting for our clerk to get back. Sorry.
Okay.
And just looking out, let's see, I'd like to welcome a good portion of Roosevelt's fire department, Roosevelt's first aid, Millstone first aid. Anybody I'm missing from emergency services? No? Good. And can you guys get those bright yellow jackets?
We have
them. Okay. I'd like you to be seen. So you don't have the ones with red. It's the ones. The answer's in all caps. You'll probably figure that out pretty quickly.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yep.
Okay. All right. We now move on to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion on the January 3, 2017 reorg minutes?
Move to adopt the January 3, 2017 reorganization minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion at the table, comments, or changes?
I'm sorry. I was reading what you handed out. Could you? Would
sure.
It just
January 3, the reorganization meeting?
Okay.
The minutes?
Okay.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Kamel?
Aye.
Thank you. Do we have a motion on the regular meeting that was held on the same date, January 3, 2017?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion or questions at the table? Did you get the moved and second?
Yep.
Okay. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Ms. Lapone?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Kamel?
Aye.
And last, may I have a motion on the January 12, 2017 special meeting?
No, I'd like to discuss. There's some questions I have.
Okay, so we'd get a motion, a second for discussion?
Okay.
Okay, move adoption of the January 12, 2017 special meeting in minutes.
Second.
And now discussion. Ms. Milk?
Yeah. It says that the borough attorney stated the council member Hamilton is correct and that both resolutions are free. No, I'm sorry, I'm reading page 2 of the minutes for the special meeting. It says there is case law that make it clear to include an interpretive statement, be neutral in content, and explain what the question is about. We had asked for that case law, and we never received it. I'd like to see the case law.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Kamel?
I'll abstain on that.
Okay. I would point out, before we complete this voting, that what we are voting on is whether or not the minutes accurately reflect what was said at the meeting, not whether or not you agree with them. So are you stating that they do not accurately reflect what is at the meeting? What was said at the meeting?
I believe they're not accurate.
You believe that's not what was said?
Mm-hmm.
What do you believe was said?
Well, there was much more discussion about the interpretive statement. And it's not clear the way it says. Resolution 17-29 certainly is neutral and simple as it can get. Who stated that?
I think council stated that. But you can, I think counsel stated that, but you can listen to the tape.
Counsel, who? Some, I mean.
That would be Roger McLaughlin, wasn't it?
I was not here yet.
I know, it's not attributed to him, so I just think the whole, that the minutes are not clear and that we never did receive the case law, so.
Okay, well, whether we received the case law or not is not relevant.
All right, well, I also don't think it's clear what exactly was said and who said it.
What was the final time? On the minutes.
We now go on to the consent agenda. This is an opportunity for the public to comment on the consent agenda. There are two items on the consent agenda. One is Resolution 17-45, recognizing the creative team to support Roosevelt's application for sustainable jersey recognition. And the second is payment of bills. Would anybody like to explain to the public, because I cannot, the recognizing the creative team to support Roosevelt's application for sustainable jersey recognition?
I'll explain that.
Thank you.
Sustainable Jersey is an organization from which the Roosevelt Environmental Commission has gotten two grants. They offer an recognition of a town's efforts towards sustainability, not just environmental sustainability, but cultural sustainability as well as economic sustainability. So there was a meeting with Eitan Grunwald, who is in charge of the green team. You have to first name a green team. He is in charge of the green team. We had a meeting, and Sharon was there, and I was there, and we went over all of the possible applications we can make to get points towards our sustainable jersey certification. It looks like we can make bronze certification this year if we submit all of the documentation. One of the pieces that is part of the sustainable jersey submission is to have a commitment to the arts. Roosevelt has a over 25-year commitment to the arts in the Roosevelt Arts Project, and so this resolution is a recognition by the governmental body that the Roosevelt Arts Project is the group that does all the art stuff in town, and it names the basically the RAP board as the creative team. Sustainable Jersey requires you to have a couple of other additions to that team. It requires you to have someone who is involved with the school. So Larissa Bondi has generously agreed to accept membership on the creative team. And we needed a member of the green team, and that's Stacy.
Thank you. Now, does anybody have any comments on the consent agenda? There being none, I close the public portion on the consent agenda. Can I get a motion?
Move the consent agenda.
Second?
Second.
Any comments at the table? Would you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Techner?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
We now move to other resolutions. This is mercifully short, folks. Resolution 1746, awarding Maine Pool and Chemical Company for the purchase of chemicals for the borough's water and sewer facilities. Just real quickly, we awarded this contract some time ago. The lowest bidder was not able to perform through a series of issues about how the chemicals are transported and whether they're safe. So we are now awarding to the second qualified bidder. In other words, the person who was a little more expensive than the lowest bidder. Okay. Do I have a motion on 1746?
Move 1746.
For the second?
Second.
Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Ms. Cody?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Techner?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
We now move to reports of committee chairs. The first would be Mr. Hamilton, who's Public Works. He is not here, but our head of Public Works is here. Do you have anything you'd like to report?
Well, we have a tree that's a hazard over on Farm Lane that needs to come down. It's going to take down a shed and a fence. It's going to take down a shed and a fence. So Alan's quoted us $900 to get it. It is a danger. It's between the trail. It's a borough property. And then, I'm sorry. That's it. That's all there is. For now. That's the only thing I do need.
Okay. And Alan is also going to be doing some of the clearing of the rights of way?
That's in the business.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
So we need to decide about the hazard tree.
We'll just let Rich look at it and we'll circle back around.
Okay. Well, $900, I mean, it's certainly beneath all your thresholds. So, and if it's emergency, I guess you can go ahead and do that. Just make sure it gets over to the CFO.
So, do I have a motion to approve Ellen's removal of a hazard tree at a price of $900?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. Record shows unanimous. Okay. We now move to Councilmember Tickton, Community Development, Code Enforcement, and Seniors Representative.
Okay. I went to the meeting of the Community Development Block, Monmouth County Community Block Grant Committee, and I was elected Vice Chairman. But before accepting Vice Chairman, I had to make sure that we were not eligible for any, but I described our project, our possible project, and they said no, because we're not in an area, it isn't something that predominantly benefit a low-income population, so that we would not be eligible for it. But they, so with that information, I accepted the Vice Chairman. And in terms of further community development, do we have anything further to report about the medical marijuana facility? Has anything happened?
No.
Nothing has happened there. Okay.
But we can follow up in the next.
Yeah, so we just have to keep track of that.
Sure, there are many people.
The seniors, the board, you know, it's, you know, I'm on the Monmouth County Board of Health, and I spoke to the person there who is conducting the program, going around to addressing the senior groups in the county about first equipment, you know, kits that they give them. They explain to them what they do in emergencies and things. So I put in touch with Jerry Millar, and they're going to set up something in May, and they will be here. And as far as code enforcement is concerned, we are making progress. Some of the housing, the 37 Homestead, which is a house that's been sitting there for a while, appears to have finally been foreclosed on and is up for sale now. So there is progress being made in that regard. And Mr. McGrath is going to speak about these three projects where there have been applications for rental permits.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Councilwoman Bonner, Administration and Environmental Commission Representative.
The Administration Committee decided to postpone the meeting that we had scheduled for last Monday. We need a little bit more time to speak with the borough employees, get together job descriptions and titles and things. This isn't something that we want to rush through just to get done. We want to make sure it's done properly. So we've decided to take a little bit more time to do some research on that before we get together again to discuss. On the Environmental Commission side, apparently someone has removed all of the signs that say slippery when wet over the new bridges that were just recently installed. Was it Nick or Eitan who went back today and replaced?
Nick went back. So the signs, when I walked the path, they'd been ripped out of the ground and thrown into the woods.
What are they made of?
They're on a wooden stake, and they're made of laminated plastic, and they're bright yellow, so you can see them in the weeds. And They were still intact, so Nick went over and pulled them out of the woods and pounded them into the ground again, and we hope that they'll stay there. I mean, it's a warning sign for telling people that those bridges can be slippery when they're wet.
Mm-hmm. Also, there was a section of the
Environmental Commission.
We could also, we might also be able to put a camera out there. Game camera. Mm-hmm. We simply photograph whoever pulls it up. So
hopefully they won't steal that. They would.
Always an issue.
Also, where the trail had been rerouted, it seems like the signs were more leaning towards vandalism. And this is leaning more towards just not realizing that the Woodland Trail had been rerouted last summer. So someone was trying to clear the section that we don't want people to go so that they can still go. So we're not sure if they're unhappy that that section is no longer being maintained, that they still want to use it, or if it was just unclear to them that the trail had actually been rerouted. So Eitan and Nick piled up some woody debris and things to kind of put an exclamation point. No, we don't want you passing through this area anymore. Go this safer, better way instead. Did I miss anything? Or
Where is that section?
It's the last section before you get to Rochdale. And the way the trail used to come out right next to the stream is sort of right there on Rochdale. And then you'd have to walk on the road to get back to the school.
Oh, well, you come
it
back.
Was rerouted so such that school children would not be walking on the road. So the new route is to keep kids in the woods and not on the road. It really seems like a much safer route.
It's the part that brings you up to the memorial.
Yes.
Basically. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, Councilor, anything to report?
As we discussed at the last meeting, we sent a letter to Verizon informing them that there would be no blanket approval as to nodes on telephone poles. I haven't had no response to that. And tomorrow we are meeting with PSE&G regarding the outstanding issues we discussed at the last meeting.
And I regret that I may not be at that meeting. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
We tried to get it changed, but anyway.
And they wouldn't?
Huh? I don't know.
No.
Oh, I think the office couldn't reach them. So don't answer your phone. You get surprised.
Good for utility. Yeah.
Councilmember Malkin, Finance and Planning Board Representative.
Okay, well, nothing really to speak about for Finance. Planning Board met, and as most of you know, I think it's time, every 10 years we have to review the town's master plan. So that's what we've been doing. The Planning Board is reviewing Roosevelt's master plan, and we went into some detail at the Planning Board. People gave just minor changes. They were just basically stayed the same. Few people had some suggestions, but I wouldn't say there were any major changes in it. Did you?
No.
So, and that has to be submitted, I think, on March 24th or 29th. And if anyone does have any suggestions or anything they'd like to see in town regarding anything, the physicality of town, the cultural, anything at all in town. It doesn't mean that we still can't discuss it or change things. It's just that it had to be reviewed by March 24th. So that's what we've done. And our final meeting, if anyone's interested, is March 6th, I believe, that Tuesday. No. Yeah. No, this 14th. Yeah, March 7th. Right, March 7th is the final Planning Board meeting for discussion of the master plan. So everyone is welcome and encouraged to come and participate if you have any suggestions or questions or anything about Roosevelt. And that's all for me.
Thank you. Council Member Lapote, Utilities.
nothing about utilities, but I am going to attend a League of Municipalities training meeting on Saturday morning over at Mercer County College. It's a training in budgeting for municipal officials.
Great. Has the deadline passed to for other council people to sign up?
I'm not sure. The clerk sent out the notice about four or five times, and the last time I said, oh, all right, I'll go.
All right, then. I'm glad they harassed you.
I'll be happy to report back, though, on anything I learn.
Thank you. Councilmember Trammell, Environmental Health and Safety.
Mm-hmm. Two things. Eitan emailed me a month or so, a couple of weeks ago. He had received complaints about gunshots near houses. And, in fact, on Pine Drive, where I live, about a month or maybe a month and a half ago, all of our neighbors came out because we heard shots that were very close to our houses also. Walked over to the sewer plant, and we could see hunters in the field over there. So consequently, I, on the 16th of February, I went over to the Assentank headquarters, met with Captain Lisa LaCroix, head of the law enforcement agency over there. I brought with me some copies of our hunting zone map from our code book. If anybody needs a copy of this, I can pass them around the table here. And we talked about it, and one of the things that became apparent was that the safety zones are 450 feet from houses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the map shows that, but it also shows that a lot of our trails are in the active hunting zones. So she said there was nothing they could do about that, but I think we should be aware of it.
We have an ordinance that prohibits the discharge of firearms anywhere within the borough. As a matter of fact, it's
okay, well, this is the Assentank.
Except that it doesn't, the Assentank rules and the county park, we can't control
the state
county and the state.
Yeah,
so
right.
They supersede it for the areas that they own.
And they own the areas where the trails go, a few of the trails, the one between the sewer plant and Tamara. Trail follows the creek all the way up there, and that's in an active zone. The trail behind the senior center and the cemetery is also in an active hunting zone. So if nothing else, we should be aware of it, and people walking in the zone should be aware of it.
They're not within 450 feet of the residences on either side?
Well, the map shows that, no.
Right.
It's beyond 450 feet. So I went over it with Lisa, and Lisa did not have a copy of this map, so I sent her a copy, sent Eitan a copy also, and it is something that, you know, we might want to publish somewhere or put a copy on the bulletin board or something.
Sure.
Because I know the kids hide the painted rocks on these trails, and they're, you know, elves and things like that. It's something that we should all be aware of. Lisa also said that they're probably local hunters that are, you know, the ones that are in the area hunting because they know the area. So maybe we should put a piece in the bulletin that says, you know, try not to hunt too close to houses. Lisa also said that they have posted posters that they will give us, and maybe in conjunction with the environmental board, we can walk it off and put these posted posters out there. I noticed 2 weeks ago the newer safety zone posters were on a lot of the trees in town. So, you know, they're taking it fairly seriously that our trails are on their property and that we should all be aware of that. Okay. The second thing I have is about the Applegarth Fire Department. My odometer says from the post office it's 5.3 miles on Battleground Butcher Road over to Applegarth there, and 4.3 from the power lines down the street.
From the what?
from the power lines at the edge of town there.
Yeah. Which to which firehouse are you going?
Halsley Applegrove. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's my odometer, but I don't have the newest car in the world. So, and they have in fact created. They're creating a contract. Their lawyer's looking at it, and for $30,000 a year for 3 years, should we decide that that would be an option for us.
Well, also, I'd like to add that we've contacted a number of insurance companies, and many insurance companies do not use as their barometer mileage anymore. It's response time, it's proximity to hydrants, and it's also volunteer versus, and these are their words, not mine, volunteer versus professional firefighters. Mm-hmm. So we were told that we spoke to a couple different insurance agencies who said that homeowners may possibly go down in Roosevelt if we contract to Applegarth because they are 24/7 paid. And so almost every insurance company we contacted said that they don't look at mileage as much anymore as response time, proximity to hydrants, as I said, and professional versus volunteer fire company.
Do you have that in writing? Just to quote you.
Yes, I can provide it. We called many companies.
There's certainly a disagreement about that.
One last thing is I spoke with Chief Carton from Applegarth, and he will come to our next meeting and answer questions.
Chief
Carbon.
C-A-R-B-I-N.
Yeah, Millstone's former chief.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know Jimmy well.
Okay. That's it.
Just a point, a couple of points, so that we all understand. When we originally went to Millstone and we had a proposal of $30,000, that number did not come out of thin air. That number, if you take $30,000 a year and a two-bay versus building a four-bay, you come out with almost exactly the same number. So at $30,000 a year, that would be the same price as building a four-bay station.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's $30,000 a year for 3 years, but we donate almost $20,000 a year to the fire company already, the fire department. So mm-hmm. it's really an extra $10,000 a year.
We can go through the calculations again, but it's all math. That's
well,
where we came up
it's
with.
It's math as you see it.
What happens after the
3 years?
I don't
know. 2 + 2 = 4 to me, but
yeah, okay,
I could be wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry?
What happens after the 3 years? We don't know. They're putting this contract together. We could add something onto it. I think it might be a way that would buy everybody time to think about, you know, a plan for our fire department. Maybe Millstone would want to renegotiate with us. Maybe we'll do more Applegarth or whatever. These are all alternatives is the way I see it.
I want to be clear on something, okay, because people seem not to understand this. If you enter into a three-year contract, there is no fire company. You don't come back and build one. It's not like coming back and saying after 3 years.
I've spoken with a few lawyers, and I don't see that makes our fire department disappear.
Spoken with a few lawyers about what? I'm one of a few lawyers, so I'm kind of curious.
About whether or not we would lose our fire department.
They'll quit. This is not a legal issue. If you turn around to these guys and say, you know what, hang around for 3 years. No trucks, no fire engines, no nothing. Right? Hang around for 3 years. And after 3 years, maybe we'll come back around. They're going to quit. You would quit. I would quit.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't think that negates the possibility of doing something with Applegarth or whomever, but I think we need to recognize the reality that if we go into that on a three-year contract, that at the end of 3 years, you're either going to have a new contract or you're going to be under whatever their rate is, 13.5 per hundred. They're actually more expensive.
They
were
very conscious of our small population here and our limited funds.
Okay. Anyway, it would you're either going to go back up to their rate or they would continue at the same rate. But I don't think that the option of coming back after 3 years and saying, let's have a fire department. It took 9 years to build this one. So, you know, we just have to recognize reality. And, again, that doesn't mean that they're out of the box. We may decide, okay, that's what we want to do. But we ought to do it going forward knowing that we would expect that at the end of that period we would have to have a new contract with them.
Yeah, I think we're aware of that.
Well, you are now.
No, it was clear at the meeting. 3-year contract means at the end of 3 years you renegotiate. But they were.
Right, but I'm making it clear to everybody else who's here who wasn't in the meeting.
But I think it should be clear that considering that we can contribute $20,000 a year now, it would only be costing an extra $10,000 for a department that's 24/7 paid.
We do $16,000 a year. It would be an additional $14,000, just for accuracy. Okay. Reports of borough. I'm sorry, Joe. Were you finished?
I'm good. Thank you.
Reports of borough officials. I don't know if you wanted to bring Joe up or if you wanted him under old business. Do you have a report, Joe, or you just want to stick with...
You do it under old businesses.
Okay. I didn't know if you had a separate report.
No.
Okay.
Do you have other things you want to talk about?
I got the news on the Debt Summer Forum.
Okay. Why don't you start with your report, and we'll go right into old business. Old business, by the way, are three items, all of which have to do with zoning or code enforcement. And Joe is our zoning officer, as well as deputy code enforcement. Keep track.
Thank you, Mayor. Michael, we got some good news today in that the Dexheimer Farm up the street, there's been a signed agreement as to the value of the property, which is a major step. The county and Mr. Dexheimer are working very well together. The next step, and it may have already been done tonight, is for the County Board of Recreation Commissioners to put a formal contract together for the price that pretty much has been agreed on. And then a closing would take place at some point in the future. There are a lot of issues on the site yet, which we've already started to address, the removal of all the vehicles. There are some 21 vehicles on the site. But we have we found some companies that are interested in those particular vehicles, believe it or not. Some of them have some value. So they are, Mr. Dexheimer is cooperating completely, and we are working to get those removed because that's one of the conditions the county had is they wanted somebody to get those vehicles out of there and to identify what's in the house that needs to be preserved. So all of that's in the works. So I think it's a major step forward that everybody's in agreement as to what the property is valued at and what the maximum sale price would be.
Does anyone know how old that house is?
I don't. I didn't ask, to be honest. But
and how much property is there? How many acres?
4 acres.
But it pretty much bisects, almost bisects.
Yeah, no,
the park.
I mean, I've been up there, but.
Do you, you said to determine if there's anything of value in the house that needs to be preserved?
For the family personally. Anything that they don't want to preserve for themselves, the county has agreed that they will take care of disposing of it. So that was a major obstacle for a while because there was no help in the family in order to do all of those things. So, but it's been a very cooperative effort, and I'm really pleased that the way it worked out.
Could that be an opportunity for our fire department and Millstone's fire department to work together on a drill?
I'll ask.
Okay.
I don't see why not. Although I did do that in my own town one time, and they got the wrong house, so I
have to be careful.
It's the small single-story one right next to the gas station.
It is one of the pre-Jersey Homesteads houses, of course.
It is.
It probably is 19th century.
That's what I'm saying. I was wondering just how old
house, I'm sure.
How old it is.
Yeah. The old maps.
So now three matters.
I'm sorry.
No, I was asking Michael. You wouldn't.
I'm sorry. What?
How old was Brotman's? Because the county destroyed that. And
yeah, Brotman's was a newer 50s? House in Jersey Homestead.
Yeah.
I still
it was
felt
1950s
bad.
Or something.
Yeah, I still felt bad when they raised it.
Yeah,
though.
It was 1950s.
Yeah, they should have loved it when they made the park. They raised a lot of stuff up. So the three other matters that we have under old business. All have to do with approval for application for a license to rent a residential property. Do you want to break them out separately?
Yeah, that might be best.
Okay. Yes, they are different. So
yeah, they are different.
Different situations with each.
Maybe we should explain that we have an ordinance that requires people who wish to rent out their residential properties has to be approved by the mayor and council as a rental before they can move tenants into it or apply to move tenants into it. So these are three applications that have been recently made to the council.
So let's start with number one, 23 Homestead Lane.
Yeah.
Right, you had recommendations. The question, I think, at the last meeting was whether we ought to specifically apply those recommendations to all of these units, notwithstanding the fact that most of the two out of the three, I think, are in compliance.
Yes, two out of the three are.
I just want to say something about that. The recommendations, and there were six of them as to one property, but you're talking about them all. But I think two through six are pretty much implicit in your ordinances now. The first one regarding payment of water tax and sewer liens is something I just want to take a look at to see if we can do that, A, but B, if we do it, I think we got to put it in the ordinance so it's uniformly done for everyone. I don't think. I think it's got to go in the ordinance.
Should I explain that so that everybody understands what we're talking about? Or?
Sure. Let me just ask one question. So what you're telling us is we ought to have an ordinance for the next meeting, 10-day notice, et cetera, 7-day notice, whatever.
Well, I don't care if you do it the next meeting.
But the people want to rent the house probably do.
If you want to make that a requirement going forward, then, yeah, you should have an ordinance.
Do we have... do we have any unpaid water, sewer, and taxes on any of those buildings?
It wasn't so much unpaid as it was some landlords rely on companies to come in and pick up their tax sale certificate for their taxes, their sewer, and water, yet they collect the rents. Now, at some point, those companies will get paid, but it removes the owner one more step from taking pride in the property and maintaining the property because they're just... We found they were just collecting the rents and the properties were running down. And they didn't care who pays the sewer water. Someday they'll catch up. And what we were trying to do is tighten that up so that they maintain a better involvement in the property. Mm-hmm. And it's always better to have the owner come down and pay the taxes and stop and look at the property while they're here to do it and pay the water and sewer themselves, even though it's not illegal for them to allow a tax sale certificate to pick up those things. We had one or two where it went on for 3, 4, 5 years. In the meantime, rents were being taken out, so they benefited from it, but they weren't paying the taxes, sewer, and water. So we're just trying to get more involvement by the landlords to maintain these properties more so than they have been. And that was the intent of that suggestion.
So we could approve at, this is just a question, we could approve at these applications at this meeting, right, and then do an ordinance beginning of the next meeting that would require them to comply with those, with that going forward, yes?
Well, you could introduce an ordinance.
Assuming it was passed.
Yeah, assuming it was passed. Whether you could retroactively do that after the license has been issued, I don't know that you can do that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So the license is a one-timer?
It's for a year. But if you make a new requirement, then it would be a requirement for the next
following year.
Yeah. Do they have to renew the license every year?
They do. It's good for 1 year.
So we could make it a condition to renewal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I guess the next question is how much of a timing issue is this for the owners of the houses?
Well...
Could they wait 3 more weeks as we go through the ordinance process?
I guess reluctantly they would.
It's going to take you more than that, unless you have special meetings.
Yeah, because you have 45 days you have to wait after the passage and for appeal time. So it probably would be an inconvenience, to be honest.
So our two options appear to be either to approve the licenses, the applications, now and live with whatever it is for a year, or to have the homeowners wait for some period of time before they can rent.
Also, as Mr. McGrath will make clear, the three of them aren't all ready to be done at this point. The first one, correct? The first one is, but the other two have...
The worst-case scenario is not ready yet, so that probably could wait. The other two are... Well, one of them is the deli, and it depends on the position the council wants to take on that situation.
Well, the deli is a whole different issue.
Right.
You're right. Okay, so that's number three. All right. So as to
and
one and
two... Well, you're waiting for...
Two is not ready.
For the courts to...
You're waiting to see for the 6 Farm Lane.
Yes. We're waiting for completion. In fact, we're in court tomorrow night on 6 Farm Lane.
That's not ready yet either.
It's not ready.
So we could approve number one. We could approve 23.
We could. And there's no reason. That property is fully compliant.
Okay, it's not in arrears and it's
not
in water, sewer.
No, it's been repaired. and it has received a certificate of occupancy.
So would anybody like to make a motion to approve the application for 23 Homestead Lane?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion at the table among the council? Could you please call a roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Ms. Lipodi?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Okay, good. Two, can I get a motion to hold off on two?
Motion to table two and three.
Second.
Do we want to, well, let's table two and then move to three.
Okay,
because we want
to have a discussion on table two.
Two, okay. It's a second. Yeah, we had a second, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody opposed to tabling? No? All right, so we table two. All right, three, we have two issues. One is the same issue as everybody else. Are things paid up to date, et cetera? Are they in compliance? But we also have the issue that our zoning ordinances say that the deli is in a commercial district and there shall be no residential use, period. That's the ordinance. When the deli was built or added on to, don't remember exactly,
built,
yeah, and the Rossies owned it, they asked for a specific one-time variance that would permit use of the apartment above the deli by somebody who was actively working in the deli. And I think, remember at the time, the Rossi family had people living up there who worked in the deli. So the default in that case is no. I think that we would be, at the very least, remiss if we did not go back to the planning board and say we're about to, notwithstanding what the zoning ordinance says, we're about to move forward to technically violate the ordinance or effectively amend the ordinance.
Amend it how?
Well, if the ordinance says thou shalt not, and we say, yeah, go ahead.
Well, thou shalt not if you're not a relative or an employee.
Right.
I didn't think we were changing that.
Doesn't the variance run with the land, or are you saying the variance lapsed? They have a variance that runs with the land, saying that it can be occupied by an employee of the deli.
Right.
So would that have lapsed because it was not used for a certain period of time, or is it still in effect?
Yeah, I thought we had agreed
it's
that
still
that
in effect.
Would
stay. There's no need for anyone to go to the plan. We wouldn't go to the planning board. The applicant would have to go to the planning board. But is there any reason for the applicant to go to the planning board if this is still in effect?
Well, I think this.
Wait. Okay. This is an approval for an application to rent residential property.
Right.
I don't see the words solely to somebody working in the deli. I don't see the words that say solely to somebody related by first relation. All I see is an application for a license to rent residential property. I assume that if we approve that, they can rent to whoever the heck they want to.
But that's part of the ordinance.
That's exactly the question.
Has anyone asked
abandonment?
I'm sorry?
It becomes a question of
abandonment
based on the zoning regulations of the state. And what the zoning regulations say is that if their intention was to always go back to that same approval for the structure, that it carries even though it's been empty for a period of time. The only time it would lapse would be if the use itself changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 1 year, it would revert to whatever the new zone is. But this would be a case where abandonment would apply, and they could come in and argue that it's always their intention to open back up and have a member in the apartment. So that's where the hang-up is there.
So Michael's right. At that point, it becomes not our decision.
Right.
Right.
So it's got to go back to the planning board.
No.
No.
The original approval carries. If it was approved at the planning board, correct?
Right. No. For that limited purpose.
For that purpose.
Right. But so that would carry as long as it was always their intention to go back to do that. You could say you take a gas station.
And whose intention are we speaking of?
The owner.
The owner? The owner's changed five times.
That's irrelevant.
Yeah, the variance would go with the property as long as it doesn't change, the use hasn't changed. But I think the real question here is not so much a legal one, is the condition of the variance being met? Are the tenants going to be employees or relatives? If they are not, then the council has no authority to do anything.
But this came up at the planning board a few years ago, remember? Because the owners wanted to put people who were not employees or relatives in the apartment, and they were denied that.
Yeah. They asked that the condition be waived, and the planning board refused to waive
it.
So the planning board's condition was still in effect.
Right.
Question, what about if the approving it subject to compliance with the with the zoning requirement and certificate of occupancy and all the other requirements, do we approve it or just wait until they've shown us a lease that shows that the person is part of that is leasing it who's an employee of the deli?
I would recommend you wait until you get that you have proof that the condition is met, and also the other general prerequisite for getting the which we haven't talked about yet. The general prerequisite for everyone that there be no code violations going on.
Right.
I didn't see that. It wasn't checked on the...
They don't have their complete approvals to the Board of Health and a few other things yet, and there's been no certificate of occupancy inspection there yet.
Right,
so the only advice I would need, and maybe I can just deal with Mr. Shackley on that, is what constitutes proof of the occupants being family or whatever. How do you prove that? It's a very difficult test, but we can talk about that.
Couldn't you use like a W-2 to prove employment?
For employment,
yeah. Yeah, but that's chicken and egg. They don't get a W-2 until they're working.
That's always the tough
there.
Part.
What ordinance
they can't be an employee
that
they have a
deli. Rich, what ordinance is?
Okay, Councilwoman Donna has a question.
10-3 property rental ordinance.
Guys, excuse me. In order.
If the deli's not open yet, how can it have employees?
Well, but that's why we've held off with the certificate of occupancy inspection until the deli is fully functional. The apartment is irrelevant, and we have no intention of allowing anybody to move in the apartment until the rest of the conditions are met for the deli. Because it's been on and off, and it was interesting that the day after we were contacted about has there been any progress, and because of the court case, the next day people showed up and started working on the deli. And before that time, there's been no activity there. Mm-hmm. So they haven't complied with our rules, and we're going to make sure that they are all complied with before we get to step two, which is upstairs. First floor has to be fully functional with all its approvals.
So motion table.
Yeah. Do you have a second?
What was the motion?
Table.
The table.
Okay, second.
Okay. Let's have a voice vote on that. I think anybody opposed to tabling? Some all in favor. Okay, but just a to do list. To the next step or the next steps list is you and Rich are going to have a conversation. We're going to go through all the issues and come back to us with either the issues or they're all been resolved.
Okay. Well, I don't know how they get the result until the deli's open.
A list of the issues or coming back saying, never mind, they've all been resolved. What I don't want to have happen is that it just gets dropped and we come to another meeting and we do the same thing.
Okay.
I just want to get a good fix on where we are before.
We just had a time frame in which to make the submission to the council so that they don't automatically get approved, and we're within that time frame. But we just wanted to, like any other zoning matter, you have a certain amount of time. And if you can't get to it, you deny and let them apply again. Here, the adjournment is just as good.
So tabling is the same as if we denied?
We've taken action. It's tabled because they haven't met the conditions. And they'll get a letter from my office saying that we reviewed the application and at this point it's incomplete. And therefore, we deny until such time as we get the information we require.
And you'll tell them what the information is.
We'll tell them what that is. Yes, that's required by municipal
Kafka does not live here.
And if I could just steal 1 minute before I get out of your way, just since there's so many people here, we just want to reiterate that if you have a rental property or know somebody who does, we are going through the tax records to find those to make sure everybody is registered for two reasons. Not so much that we're looking for fees or anything, but we want our emergency services people to know who's living where, how many people, so that when they do get a call, they know what they're facing when they get to that location. So that's really the effort to go around and identify all of these rental properties, which are required each year to re-register so that we know where everybody is, just for safety.
Thank you. I wanted to just take a second to circle back on two things. One was the hunting zones, Joe. Mm-hmm. this has always been a problem on Pine Drive. You'll notice on the north side of Pine Drive, that's not Roosevelt. So even if we had an enforceable
private
ordinance,
property right. North of the sewer plant is where the shots were right there. You could see the houses. You could, we could talk to the hunters.
Yeah, you also have it out on the old NERCO property.
Over by Steeplechase.
Which is subject to our ordinance, but is nonetheless a hotbed of hunters.
Well, that's what I spoke
right behind our
that's
house.
What I spoke with Lisa about, and she says that's private property. And I don't know that they can hunt out of season, though. That's the only thing.
It depends on whether or not they're a farmer, et cetera. But it, the fact that, the park system can't do anything about it doesn't mean that we can't have the state police do something about it.
Even the state police, they'll like, you know, they can come and shoo them off, but they can come back half an hour later. I mean, you know. So.
And really tick off the state police. Not the brightest.
Yeah,
move,
yeah,
but okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing is, and I've noticed this, on the other side, the portion that you can't see to the west, there's a lake there.
There's a nice little pond, and there's a field, and that's where we saw the hunters.
Well, there's also a big lake.
Right.
And on the other side of that lake is a shooting range.
There's a shooting range?
Yes. There's a shooting range in the Assanpink. And so what happens is the...
Well, no, you're talking the shooting range on Emilytown Road, the archery range and the shooting range
yeah.
next to each other. No, that's far away from where we were. Right. We were looking just...
No, I'm not suggesting it was where you were. I was just saying
okay.
that sometimes when it sounds very loud, it's the sound of it bound up.
No, it's not the shooting range. We were watching these guys in the field, you know. So, yeah.
And I had one more
question. They got about a 15-pound turkey there. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, big boy.
Oh, yeah, and the no parking signs are going in there. You know, the hunters who park in front of our salt?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. We're getting no parking signs in there, and
good.
Many more no parking when road is snow-covered. And I want to go back just to something, Councilwoman Malkin. If we contract with Monroe, what happens to our first aid squad?
Well, we have to discuss that because they also have a 24/7 paid first aid squad, or we can make the renovations to our own garage. I think most people in Roosevelt would prefer to keep our own first aid,
yep.
and so we could.
But that was still $150,000 less than a four-bag.
Well, according to your calculations.
No, according to the engineers, according
okay,
to the
according
plans,
to the
according
engineers
to the accountants.
You hired. Jeff, I'm not going
to
go around and around and around. You have your figures, and we've spoken to other people who have different figures. But
what
if you're asking me about first aid.
What are the other figures?
If you're asking me about first aid,
yeah.
then we have two choices. We could renovate our present first aid facility, or we can contract out to Monroe as well.
Okay. Do you have those figures?
Yes, we spoke to many professional people. We spoke to the fire marshal of Monmouth County.
I'm asking you about numbers.
Yes, and they all told us that to think that we could build a firehouse with all the gear we need and everything that entails, you're looking at $2 to $3 million. That $571,000 is completely not feasible. It cannot be done. We didn't dream this. We didn't just wake up and decide this. Michael knows, Joe knows, we spoke to these people who said it is not possible. It is just not possible. Yes, you can put up a pole barn, but you're not going to have anything else that you need. Plus, the ongoing cost year after year after year are very high. We have a whole list of all the gear and everything that entails to keep a fire department going. And as we know, the government wants us, it doesn't want 565 little towns in New Jersey to each have their own fire department anymore. Those days are gone. It's very, very difficult for small towns to sustain their own emergency services. And so they are encouraging towns to merge, to contract out.
Is the government offering any incentives for that?
No,
they're not. However,
then how are they encouraging?
I refer you, ladies and gentlemen, to the pricing schedule up there
that
shows the entire price of building the building.
Excuse me, I was talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you spoke to Roberts Engineering. We spoke to professional fire people. And as you have in your report, You refuted every single statement that we were told by these professional people. But
actually, I didn't.
You can't. Well,
actually,
okay,
what it says
well,
is
I didn't have it.
What it says is the requirements are.
Can I finish? The vast majority, you refuted. So, you know, you have your facts and you have your statements that you make. But we were told, we spoke to three different fire officials. Well, more than three, but we spoke to three different entities. The Monmouth County Fire Marshal, the Applegarth Fire Department, which we spoke to the two fire commissioners and a fire chief. And then we spoke to the Millstone chief. Did we not, Michael?
What? Commissioners.
What?
Commissioners.
No, I'm saying, are they not the three entities that we spoke to?
Those are three entities, yes.
And did they not tell us that it was not feasible for a town our size to sustain our own fire department and that the $571,000, and you yourself have said when asked, what happens if it's not enough? You said, well, we'll get another bond. And what they're saying is it won't even be close. Both the cost to build and maintain our own fire department in the
So the question was, what do you want to do with first aid?
Well,
we'll look into that
as soon as we have the referendum and we know exactly what people want, what they don't want, if they want to support the bond or not, then we can make a decision regarding renovating our present facilities or contracting out to Applegarth.
Okay. Thank you. New business. Building use dates. We have a request for the Environmental Commission stream monitoring training class, April 29, 8:30 to 4, and a rain date for May 27. I assume that's been cleared on our calendar. Okay. Do I have a motion to allow Environmental Commission on those dates and the Borough Hall?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Great. Passes. Okay. Allen's Tree Service, I think we just... Oh, tree trimming throughout the borough. Mm-hmm. Do we have a formal contract? Yes.
Is this something that's going to be acted on tonight?
The tree service thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why?
Well, we acted on the tree.
You acted on that, yeah. No, as a general proposition, I'd rather get these things out of new business and into resolutions at the beginning of the meeting. Okay.
So we're talking about doing...
Normal maintaining of the streets. The branches that are coming out and all the debris that's coming out. He'll go through the town and just cut through, so... It keeps it from wires and everything else.
Wait, 700?
That's just to do around town. This is maintaining, like, by the cemetery is coming out into the road. That one's different. That's a hazard tree.
No, I got it. So the large hazard tree is 900, but the maintaining of the town is 700.
Just going to hit. It's a big tree on the hazard one. The tree is very large.
900 and 700 is 1,600. Tip list is 1,725. Right, 1750.
Oh, you mean for the quote threshold?
Yeah.
Well, aren't they two discrete things? But I'll tell you what the...
Well, they are, but I'm saying even if we add them together, we're coming out under the... Huh?
Oh, you're coming out under the quote threshold.
We're
under
the quote threshold.
Yeah.
So this bill, this proposal from Allen, $700, is for the... April 10th through October 2007.
Well, it's, NERCO, both sides, grounds of the sewer plant, water plant, Borough Hall, bill number three, Oscar Drive.
Okay, so the 700
that's not for that. Never mind.
That's not for that.
Call me an idiot.
Okay. The trees, the Allen's proposal is to go around and trim down from what's coming out in the road. We go through and we trim and keep it from the wires being broken down during a storm.
Right.
It's just a normal routine. We don't have to do it yet. We can hold off on it.
Okay. And you want to hold off for the next meeting?
Well, I think as a general proposition, we should, if we're going to act on things, we should prepare a resolution so we make sure finance has the right documents that go with that, and they're different depending on the cost of the contract. And it also, it's on the resolution, so we know everyone's reviewed it. I think as a general proposition, if we're going to act on things, we shouldn't bring them up and
new business and do a motion, we should have a written resolution.
Okay. So we'll let's table it. Yeah. If it can wait 2 weeks, good. Yeah. 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Whatever. Okay. We're good. Mm-hmm. I go back to specification of maintenance of public lands for discussion.
Mike Hamilton's not here. He's working with Aton on it, so we can just move that to the next meeting.
Okay. I like table, table, table. Okay. Set date for bulk pickup. Tentative dates, May 1 or May 2?
Through.
May 1 through May 2. Okay.
Okay.
And if they go further, it goes to May 3. Anybody have a reason to object to bulk pickup on May 1 through whenever? Would somebody like
I like the idea that we're having bulk pickup and branch pickup the same week. I just think we have to make absolutely certain that all of the residents realize that they put stuff out for bulk pickup in one spot and branches in another, because we don't want the garbage people picking through the branches to get at the old couches. We want two separate piles.
Actually, I was going to say that I thought it was a bad idea to have them on the same week, yeah, because, first of all, people might be really busy emptying their house, trying to see everything they want to put out for bulk pickup. But then at the same time, they're going to have to deal with the branches.
Okay,
plus
but right now we're on bulk pickup.
Well, I
okay.
was just
okay. We're on bulk pickup, and the reason bulk pickup date was chosen is because there's also, I think, a townwide PTA sale at that same period or just before that. Huh, April 29th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the townwide yard sale from the Roosevelt Public School. So the idea was that people could put things out. People could put things out to sell, and when
and
they
when
don't
it
sell,
doesn't
just
sell, you just
send
dump
them directly
it. Right.
into bulk garbage.
Right.
So sticking on it. By the way, that's how we're required by law to auction off any old equipment here. Okay, so we come in once a year or once every other year, and we auction off things like 10-year-old computers, which basically means one of us, usually me, stands here. Nobody comes in. At the end of the day, I convince people to help me drag it out to the curb. The workings of government. But do we have a problem with setting the bulk
pickup? No electronics are allowed in bulk pickup.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not allowed electronics.
Yeah, we used to.
You can't go to Millstone anymore.
Yeah, yeah, you got to go to Tinsel Falls, which is a real thing.
No more Millstone. They're not open anymore.
All right, can I get a roll call?
Can we make the branch pickup a day
or
two later?
We're not at branch pickup.
We're not there yet.
We'll discuss that in a second.
Okay.
We don't have a first and second. Michael, can I have a first on May 1
for bulk pickup? May 1st and second for bulk pickup.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Great.
Okay. Ms. Kona?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Schmal?
Aye.
Okay. Now we get to the fun part, the date for the branch pickup, which clearly should not be May 1.
Right.
Okay.
Or 2.
Right, or 2.
Yeah.
Or 2. So, however,
especially now that you actually have three things for all that time, because it's the yard sale and the bulk.
But it leads to some some scheduling issues. Who's doing the branch pickup?
We have to get quotes.
Okay. Do we have any idea who might be available? Did we talk to people about them being available on May 1?
Well, Alex
we
Tree Service, another tree service that I spoke with, they're giving us quotes, but we can change the date.
Okay.
We can actually go further if that's the case.
So a week later?
What about Hightstown?
You can't do a week later because it's
not. Is Hightstown willing to do?
Okay.
It shouldn't be on a Wednesday either because that's trash and recycle day.
Okay, so
this is
why I'm saying we can't just move it.
Yep.
Right? We have to make sure that. So you've got Mother's Day. I don't know what's the matter with branches on Mother's Day, but okay. I'm sure somewhere in the world.
Better to wait till later anyway, because generally, I mean, the climate's so upside down now, but generally it rains a lot in April, so you know.
April showers bring mayflowers.
Yeah, but and branches coming down.
Yeah, mayflowers
so
bring.
Puritans.
Pilgrims. Yes.
Okay. Why don't we check for some open dates, and we'll come back to the next meeting, and we can have this discussion again. Okay. We now come to public comment. Would anybody, Mr. Vo, have any questions or comments, Mr. Vo? Mr. Vo is the president of our first aid squad?
Mm-hmm. Chief Captain,
thank you.
Hello, John Vo, 19th Farm Lane. It's hot in here. I can say crack the window.
He's nervous, it's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm nervous. Thanks to our Millstone Squad people coming to support us. Last year, we answered roughly 260 calls. So far this year, we answered 16 calls in town and out of town, including one where we had a unresponsive one-year-old infant. So distance makes a difference. Our members are trained professional, including our own medical doctor, my wife. Hi, Ellie. And we take time out of our busy schedule to help our neighbor. And, you know, when we get there and they see a familiar face, you know, they tend to relax more than somebody from out of town. Doesn't matter what happened with the negotiation with the fire department and Millstone Fire Department or Roosevelt Fire Department, the Millstone Squad, First Aid Squad, and the Roosevelt First Aid Squad will always help each other out. And we've been doing that. And they've been here a few times when we needed them. Somebody said about having Monroe come here. They hard bill. Basically, the average ambulance ride can be about $600 to $900. And they will bill your insurance company. And let's say your insurance company pay $400 or $500. They'll go after you for the rest. So just want people to know what they're getting themselves into. And also the last and least, I was just perplexed why the First Aid Squad was not consulted during all these first aid negotiation. You know, we know more about EMS stuff.
Which negotiations?
We haven't had any.
No, well, discussion with different, you know, Monroe and, you know.
No, we haven't had any at all. Oh, they only mentioned that their first aid squad was 24/7.
Okay, well,
no discussion whatsoever.
Well, then in that case, if there were any discussion, we would like to be involved because we can offer, you know, our expertise, because we know about these stuff.
Yeah, I just don't want there to be any misunderstanding. There's been absolutely no discussion with anyone about first aid at all.
Okay, great.
John, sometime this next couple of weeks, we'll trade numbers.
Okay, yeah, that'd be fine. You know, I mean, yeah. People have my numbers and stuff, and we can, if you have a question about, you know, how long it takes to do something, what happened during a heart attack, and what's the difference between Roosevelt responding and Millstone responding.
My son had a grand mal seizure when he was a year old, and I remember.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't want to take too much space, but I know people want to go home, so thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. Anybody else in the audience has any comments or questions?
About anything or...
It's anything. Wide open. Mr. Lopez, and then you'll be next?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it can be about water, sewer, the state of the country, whatever.
Okay. Sam Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. Just a quick question. When contacting Monroe, did anybody inquire about their mutual aid agreement for Roosevelt?
About their what?
Did
you ever contact Millstone or anybody else?
I'm sorry, inquire about what?
Mutual aid?
Yeah.
You did? And what was the mutual aid agreement for Roosevelt?
From Monroe or from Millstone?
If you went to Monroe.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Yeah.
Every department needs help. Every fire department needs help. So if Monroe needs help, who's going to help Monroe
and
Roosevelt?
Oh, they said Millstone and they'd mentioned someone else. Do you remember
Millstone? Millstone is on the first
list. Yeah, there's a whole list of...
That's actually incorrect. Millstone would not provide us with backup if we were using Monroe.
Well, they told us they would.
Well, let's. I'll tell you what.
He'll be here next week, right?
Let's get some papers in hand, and then we can discuss that. That's why I wanted papers.
Well, he'll be here next week.
Yeah, he'll be here 2 weeks from now.
He'll be here in 2 weeks.
I'm sorry. Who's he?
Yeah, next meeting.
John Carbon.
Who's he?
Jim. Jim Carbon. Chief
Carbon.
From Monroe.
Nobody from the commission?
Well, we can invite them.
We can invite. Sure. We just asked him.
Okay, I would bring the commission since they make the decisions.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, I believe I said this gentleman could be next. Then, please state your name and address.
Certainly.
Makes it easier for the poor folks.
My name is Ezio Craiglia, and I live at 44 Lake Drive, and I have a couple of issues I'd like some answers on that I probably don't fully understand, and this is probably going over you know, past several years. It's going to take just a couple of minutes, so if you need some more popcorn or something, please do that. So,
I was hoping for hot dogs, but whatever.
Yeah, pizza's good, too.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I've been in the construction business for 25 years. I started when I was 16 years old with family and all, and I've done from residential to industrial work. And after that, I've been a residential certified appraiser for the last 16 years. And what my concern is, any more raising of water and sewer and taxes or whatever, I can guarantee you it'll stagnate, if not drop, our property values, and that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that don't even want to move into this town ever since the yeshiva thing because our taxes went up $1,000 per household. And, yeah, there was two raises of $500 on that for the attorneys. And there was a promise to roll that back when that was done, okay? And that never had happened. The taxes stayed the same,
okay?
You know, in light of that fact, if that money was never needed before to run this town, and we used that money for the attorneys for the yeshiva, and that money was never rolled back, and I'm sorry, forgive me, but the attorney was never present before the yeshiva at the meetings either, right?
Yeah,
I don't know what meetings you mean, but yeah, there were.
Well, these town meetings and all, what is it?
Yes.
Was there there was always an attorney present, even before
right.
then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least going back to 2007, I can tell you there was.
Since
at
when?
Least the last 10 years.
2007.
Since 2007, since the yeshiva thing, basically.
No. There were before that. There was another attorney here. He's just saying from the time that he got here.
Yeah.
Before that, there was another attorney. Before that, there was another attorney.
All right. Being that we had that raise and that money's never been rolled back, why can't we find a way within those extra funds that are being taken in on an annual basis to fund the firehouse? Believe me, I want to see us have a nice firehouse and emergency service. I supported these people since I moved into this town. If you check your records, $50, $100, $200 checks. I've been to their fundraisers. And I have great respect for our first responders. I really do. And I would love to see them stay. But I don't think we should be adding to the manure pile by trying to extract some more money from the good residents of this town. I think it can be found somewhere in the budget to squeeze that in there. I mean, I heard Mr. Allen Tuck say it's such a small amount, but people are really hurting these days. You know, New Jersey's one of the four states that are doing poorly. We still have a lot of homes that are underwater, and mortgage-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're one of three states that are doing poorly in that respect, and also, our economy stinks in New Jersey. People aren't doing as well as the rest of the country. And there are people that are hurting in this town. And I'm urging you to find a way within that budget, being that it's so small, as Mr. Allen Tuck said, that you find it in the budget to do this instead of squeezing the people for a little more because we're tired. And I think I'm speaking for a lot of folks. I want to see these folks here. I mean, if we do get the firehouse, fine. You know, I'll pay for it. I'll do what I have to do. But I don't think the people should be squeezed any further. Okay? And even in regard to the water tower, you know, shouldn't that be looked at first because you do need water to fight fire?
We just rebuilt our water plant.
Well,
we
what's
just
the
redid
problem
our water
with the
tower?
Water and, you know,
sewer.
Can you explain the water
sewer.
And sewer situation to me?
We refer to it as the water sewer utility.
Okay.
But the real issues are with sewer, not with water. The water tower was redone a few years ago. The water plant was completely redone in the last 2 years. We have no problem with water. Our problem is with sewer.
So pipes.
Well, the pipes leading to, right, and pipes.
But okay.
I would just make two comments. The first is I think we're all confused.
I just sent an email to George, so hopefully before the meeting's over I'll have an answer.
But I have no memory of for the last
oh,
10
I have
years,
a,
11
when
years.
When it comes to money, I have a good memory. Okay. And I remember clearly on two separate occasions of it going up $500 each time.
Sure, it wasn't water sewer?
No, it was for the yeshiva.
I just sent a question to our chief financial officer. So
okay, and there was a comment either in the paper or by mail. I remember seeing that it was supposed to be rolled back when the problem was over. The problem was, I mean, the money was never rolled back. It still stayed the same.
The other thing I wanted to say to you was that the choice is not whether you build a four-bay building or you do nothing. The choice is, do you build a four-bay building or do you contract with another town for services? So it's a weighing of two costs. It's not, if we don't build that, we don't have to pay anything. So it's not it's not people standing up and saying, okay, let's build this, and if we don't build it, we can just keep doing what we're doing. We can't, because the state's going to fine us.
Well, as you said before, the cost of $471,000, it probably might not...
$571,000.
Might not be the final number. That's only just the baseline cost, right? I mean, generally in construction... Do you have any bids on these buildings?
I will say again, for the last 10 years... Yes, they're all up there. Everything's up there. For the last 10 years, we have given between $14,000 and $18,000. We're currently at $16,000. To our fire department. We give the same amount or about the same amount to first aid. Their expenses are paid either out of that $16,000 or they are paid from money that's raised by the fire company. So we haven't paid for a truck in decades. They are all dedicated to us, or the fire company raises the money to buy them. So when people say, oh, it's going to shoot through the roof, my response is, okay, I don't know what your basis is, but for the last 10 years, we've been right here. And anything they needed in the way of money, they wanted to buy that wall truck. It was, I think, $26,000. We said no. They went out and raised the money themselves.
We do pay for the insurance.
And I do applaud them for
yes,
that.
Yes, we do pay for the insurance. We're in GIF, it's a mild amount.
That's all fine and good, but my concern is that the cost is not going to be it.
You are correct that water sewer is going to go up. The value of houses is going to go down. I agree with all that. I do. And I don't disagree that there are costs in the future. All I can do is look at the last 10 or 15 years and say, okay, what did it cost us? Where do we get the money? And if we don't build a firehouse, what do we do? One of the options is to go to Millstone. I have said in the past, Millstone's an option. They're good guys. They're a good squad. They're 3 miles away. It's more expensive, but if that's what you want to do and you think that's a good idea, and there are people who do, then that's the way we ought to go. And that's voting up or down the bond. But when we went out and said, okay, if we get the money, what do you want to do? People said, we want to keep the fire department. So we have tough choices.
Yeah,
I agree with you. It's not...
Most certainly, yeah. And where is this proposed building going to be built? Going to take this one down?
That one just... There's actually here. I had it up a minute ago. There you have it. Okay, so the parking lot that you see on the left, you see four bays and a small area in the back, which would be a conference room, shower, the OSHA-required shower and bathroom, et cetera. The four bays, they would go where the current building would come down and it would extend. Actually, if you look very closely at that, and I'm going to ask you, we've sort of exceeded our five-minute limit here, but I thought other people might be interested in your answer. If you go up and take a look at that, you can actually see where the existing fire building is. It shows it underneath. So it would go right where our current one is. It would extend a little further back. We actually have a five-minute letter.
I told you
you're
it might
10.
Take a while.
No, that's all right. And I told you I wanted to hear you. So
Yeah. So, you know.
I just want to give other people the opportunity to speak.
I would just like to ask, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but just if you can review what our budget is and if there's any possible way that we could not charge the people. Okay, because...
I'm one of the people. I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? There's got to be a place where we could trim the fat and be able to fund this project for these people that we need. You know, it's much better to have someone here fighting the fire than having someone else possibly come in from, you know, wherever, 5 miles away. These people are here. I think it would be much better, but, you know...
We can't take money from the current budget and build a building. We have to raise a bond if we're going to build a building. We have to raise a bond if we're going to renovate a building. Anything that's a capital improvement needs to be done through a bond. You can't do it out of current.
So,
the bond will be paying, if we have a 20-year term, it'll be $40,000 a year. And if we have a 15-year term, it'll be $50,000 a year.
Okay, and I'm going to get an answer on that $1,000.
Yes, as soon
okay.
As soon as we can.
As
okay, yeah, I'm really interested
here.
In that because, like I said, when it comes to money, I don't forget
at
too
the
easily.
At the end of the meeting, if you want to give me your contact information, in
sure.
case I don't hear from him by
sure,
the end of the meeting.
Sure, not a problem. I'm sorry to go over your time, but I was just interested
forward
in knowing about you. Those funds. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Steve Yeager, Three Lake Drive. Been talking to you guys for a while. I'll leave Jeff out of this because he talks to everybody. He's been talking to everybody for a while, so he's not in your... I'm talking to the wall. You mentioned Monroe. That's a chief I've known since he was 10 years old, and he's the chief of Millstone.
Was the chief.
Isn't that interesting that you didn't know that?
I did know that.
Oh, you did? But you said... Oh, he's over there. No, he's chief of Millstone.
No, not anymore.
That might be recent, but he did this for years. He was the next guy. He was the royalty. He was the... Okay, but
I
here's the thing.
That. When we met with him as the chief of Applegarth, Monroe.
Okay, but
Steve,
his
could you
family, he's
could you please
royalty over there. So when you're telling me that, he's more here. He belongs to Millstone. His family, all the way to his grandfather, have been chiefs. Okay.
Steve, could you please direct your comments to the chair?
Okay.
If she wants to answer, she can, but...
All right.
Okay.
Fine.
I'm sorry, if counsel...
This is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling misled here, and it might be me, so I'm going to just say I'm confused, all right? First aid and fire never asked for anything. The fire, as far as I know, and I've got these guys here now, right? They're here now, just asked to house an engine. They didn't ask for all the bells and whistles. We didn't come for a new ambulance. We went and got it from the state. We didn't get all the bells and whistles, but no financial impact technically as far as raising money for an ambulance. Okay? We did pay out of our budget that we normally would have gotten. Okay, so I'm being misled here maybe. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm confused. But we are trying. We're trying to make things as easy as possible for this town. And I can... This gentleman over there, I get him 100%. Nobody asked for anything from the first aid squad. We either raised it or we were looking for funds from the state, federal government, whoever, to improve this our situation here, which, by the way, is the original first aid and fire. I don't know if you know that.
I know that.
Okay, good. I'm glad you do. All right. And here's the thing. Somehow I'm being... I don't know how we got villainized here. And it's like I'm talking to the wall. Did you ever talk to these guys?
No.
Excuse me. Did you ever talk to these guys in particular? Not you. The rest of them. No, because you have. You have. You have.
Yes.
We've been in plenty of meetings, okay? I mean, did that ever happen? I don't think so.
We invited them to
attend. Oh, you invited
the meetings
them.
And they did not attend.
Really? And I'm a member, and I didn't. And you invited
no,
me.
We invited.
We haven't spoken with the first aid squad.
No, we invited
Steve.
Fire.
No, I'm talking about fire.
Yep.
Because
yeah,
this is all foreign to me for some reason. Now I've been a fire chief here, just like it's a great idea to talk about mutual aid drilling. Well, this is what we've been doing for decades. I've personally taken them through facilities like the sewer to show them what they would be going through. We have went through our structures because this is what we do. We don't go on statistics. We go on what's our vulnerabilities. What's going to be the problems here? It's like you don't know. It's like you have no clue. It's like I'm talking to that wall. And as far as money goes, we have tried everything, and you know this. We have tried everything to not impact this town because you can't get blood from rock. Everybody... As far as I'm concerned, I'll speak for myself. I think the town is very generous. How much can you get? This is not a rich town. You know, we would not exist if it wasn't for your donations. Yeah, you've given us more money than we had before after we talked to you. But still, we need those donations. So I don't know what you're talking about. If you talk to Millstone and if you talk to Jimmy... He could tell you what happened when they went paid. I'm going to say quadrupled. Their budget quadrupled, but that's being conservative. I think it quintupled. Okay, I'm from there.
What do you mean the way it got paid? I'm not sure. I'm not clear what you're talking about.
Professional firefighters.
They have a 12.
They call paid because they actually get paid. Volunteers are volunteer. They don't get paid.
I understand that. I volunteer.
Good. So I'm just explaining the difference when we say paid. When they're paid, they're professionals. And that's what happened. And benefits, you got to take care of everything they do. There's no, well, I don't need to take this course. You take it. This is very regulated. What we're doing is very regulated. When you talk about insurance, New Jersey State Firefighters Association, I had them come here myself like 30 years ago because we were the last holdouts. We improved 1% to 2% on our insurances. Yeah, that's maybe nothing, but it's something that we should get. So that's who you go through when it comes to insurance. And they know. These are all formulas. These people don't, you know, let me take a ballpark. No, they have their formulas how they do things. So if you take a firehouse 5 miles away from here versus one you had here, even though they might be better there, the formula says you have something in town. Okay, you have hydrants in town. Millstone brings their hydrants with them. This is what I'm telling you. You should be talking to us. Not, you don't have to talk to me. You don't like me, don't talk to me. But you got other guys here that do this job all the time. It is at least a perspective that you should be talking to. Nobody here, and I can tell you that, asked for all the bells and whistles. All they said is house it. This was not a snap decision. Discussed, went over it, talked to the engineers. This is the resolution to get ahead of the game. We cannot just maintain a problem. It just costs us more money and more money and more money. Okay, you think you're maintaining a problem, but then in the end, we pay. Let's try to get ahead of the game a little bit. Let's do this right so that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we're not paying 10 times what we're paying now. Okay, here's the thing, too, with the volunteers. They don't come here for free. We have an agreement. If they want to come and get water from the hydrant at the factory, so be it. They come here for fires. All right? It's a small price to pay to come to them the few times that we came to them to help them. And they really had to need it to call us. You know, that's what it's about. It's not free. You want to take advantage of their taxpayers by saying, well, let's get rid of this. And you know what? They're not going to say, wait a minute. If I got to pay this money, why can't they pay the money for the same services? They have a house fire, they come, they pay that. We're going to get less? I don't think so. I've been there. I've been with that fire company longer than I had been here, and I grew up there. And I'm telling you right now, there's benefits to being a volunteer. We drill to death. I can tell you our first aid is loved by the whole state. They all know us as the guys will come. Just call us, we'll come. Okay, all volunteer.
Steve, and I'm going to ask you to start wrapping it up.
All right, and I'm just finishing it now.
Just wanted to make sure.
Okay. I believe Millstone, we have coverage during the day because it's hard. Millstone already took advantage of this situation, and they looked at a paid crew during the day. Am I right? Did you guys do that yet? All right. I don't like to lie. You need to talk to us. I don't want to beat up anybody. Talk to us. Work on the facts. It sounds to me like a stacked deck. That's my perception. Perception's reality. That might not really be the reality. Talk to us, all of us. Don't just say, I talked to so-and-so. He's thinking you're getting all the bells and whistles. We don't want the bells and whistles. We know we can't do it.
Thank you, Steve. We'll come back to you. And you didn't even live here. I don't know why I'm calling on you. Yeah?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Erica Saldarini, 1 Clarksburg Road. Today I'm officially here living in this town for 4 months. I love the town. My husband works at the Port of Elizabeth, so I looked about an hour, the whole state, and I chose this town. Reason being, I have a 6-year-old, and the school district was my number one reason. I also cut my husband's commute about 10 minutes back. We cut his commute. I love the small town feel of this town.
Can I ask, if he commutes to the Port of Newark, where did you live before?
We lived in Howell. We're coming from a farm in Howell. where taxes are astronomical, and they go through all these battles as this little town is going through right now.
I used to commute to Newark, so I was just
curious. Sitting here fresh, because I am really fresh to your town, I can see a clear division in this room and a bunch of uninformed people that don't know exactly what the bottom line is. I am a family of two, maybe possibly someday more or not. My bottom line is very simple. I don't go to work. My husband does. My bottom line is simple. I rely on his money, so we take care of what we have to take care of. I think, council, excuse me, you need to inform the people that you're asking to come to vote on Tuesday, because a lot of these people have an unclear picture of what they're actually voting for. They think that their taxes are going to skyrocket and astronomically go through the roof. Other people, because I was in the board planning meeting on Tuesday, think that the prices of or the insurance companies are going to drop you for not having a fire department in town or not. I think we need to inform. I was at your meeting last week, so that was one of the comments that I overheard.
They were dropping, just so they were clear. They were refusing to write policies on houses with flat roofs.
I
had nothing to do with fire.
I think I also heard you say
flat roof.
Okay,
just flat roof.
Yeah, well, nonetheless, I think that this is a very small town. I think that it's kind of like the state of the country, where everyone is up in arms and no one's listening to each other. I think this is very simple. I think inform your people of all the financial options, what it brings to your town, to your community, to your people, what the fire department, because I got a green letter, I'm also addressing all of you, in the mail, and I saw all the things that you guys provide for the town, and I love it, for my children. I just think go out there in the next 14 days and really, really get to people. I have people knocking on my door, talking about the opposition side, and I'm not quite informed on either side for me to go out to the polls.
There
as an uninformed citizen to your new county, to your new town, to vote something up or something down that I don't quite understand. I think a lot of people sit in my shoes, even if they've been here for 2 years, they don't have an idea. I've talked since last week. I've talked to quite a few parents. I've asked questions because I want to know what's going on in this town. People don't know. They don't understand the little part A, B, C, D that you've put in your bulletin. And other people approached me, why wasn't option E put in the bulletin, which was the Monroe Fire Department. Also, I think we need to clear up is if we take the deal with Monroe, the first aid squad, what happens to that money aspect? We pay Monroe for the fire department.
We never got that far at all. It was better to wait to see how the referendum vote is and then decide first aid, which I think people prefer to have it here.
I think the referendum, though, you're asking people to vote on something they don't quite understand.
May I say something?
Sure, absolutely.
I know that you've recently moved in. I want you, I understand the fact that you are confused.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to point out, however, this has been going on for 2 years.
Okay.
Three.
Okay. We have very short history. We had a vote. It was a tie. I appointed a commission, which certain council people don't like. I appointed a commission. They looked at the options. They came up with recommendations. We then went forward on those recommendations. Either we have a bond or we don't. If we have the bond, do you build this or do you build that? All right. That's where we are now. I think two things. One, we have a tremendous amount of information at the Borough Hall, which you are more than welcome to come down and go through, number one. Number two, you are right. People are confused. I think there's a number of programs being set up in the next couple of weeks to get everybody as informed as possible, because I think that is a huge issue, and I agree with you on that. It is confusing. There are charts everywhere that says this costs this, this costs that.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask about Monroe, I want to be clear. Monroe never came up in 2 years because it was beyond the five-mile limit. They're now talking about a proposed contract which none of us have seen. We have no idea what it says, where it's coming. It hasn't been reviewed by anybody, so, you know, they're talking about something.
Week.
Right, they're talking about something that will be coming.
And also the 5 mile is not being used as much as a gauge for...
Okay, we're not getting into
that. Okay, but you're saying it's more than 5 miles, so...
It is more than 5 miles. All I said was we. All I said
well,
was we
the
have
mileage
not considered.
Is not it. What I'm saying, as your freshly newest citizen to your community, is I think that it's so important that we work hand in hand with one another, and whatever we decide, it has to be for this community. Whether we're big or small, it has to be for this community. I think helping one another and educating one another, as far as people being confused and not understanding, it's a really big, important step. And I thank you for your time and listening to me.
Thank you.
Can I just say one thing also?
We're still in the public portion. And you'll be next.
Hi, my name is Petronius Alamey. I'm the captain of Millstone's First Aid. We have close ties with Roosevelt. A couple of our members have family in Roosevelt. Roosevelt provided Millstone's First Ambulance way back when. We do a lot of training and drills together. Roosevelt has maybe 12 volunteers, mm-hmm. and we relied on those volunteers a lot last year. We have maybe 6 members that cover our nighttime, and we had no daytime coverage. Roosevelt helped out a lot with that, so we contracted out with Western Monmouth that works with Englishtown and Alabin. So now they're stationed 12 hours a day in Millstone. And they've agreed to come into Roosevelt, and they soft build. They just build the insurance company, and that's what they collect, as opposed to what Monroe would do if Monroe's First Aid comes into town and picks up one of your residents. And the rates for Western Monmouth is cheaper than Monroe. They pay their EMTs a lot less than Monroe's EMTs, which is the highest rate around. It's like, I think, $18 an hour. But we're very grateful to Roosevelt, and we love you guys, and we support them wholly.
Thank you. And by the way, I've heard quotes of $600 or $700 per run. I just want to say before you go, that's pretty cheap. Monarch now is at, $1,300 a run. So even the folks over there, whether they're soft building or hard building, are half of what Monarch, we got both. Just the paramedics?
Yeah.
And I think their ambulances are a good chunk as well. So. Okay. Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. And thank you for your help in town. We appreciate that, too. Yes.
Kurt Muser, 54 Pine Drive. All right, I have two things. I'm on disability, so I notice more than I probably should, but coming 571 from the weird stop signs up here, there's a leaner tree. If you look on the right-hand side, it's a large tree that eventually is going to fall into 571. As you've seen, there's a lot of uprooted trees in the woods. This is another one that's uprooting, and it's going to wind up falling into 571.
It's by the power lines coming up the
hill? I believe so, yeah. It's getting worse.
It's about 30, 40 degrees.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
It's on the way.
When he says the weird stop sign, you mean Ely's Corner?
The five-way or whatever.
Ely's Corner, yes.
That's
Millstone and County. Is it going to come into 571?
No, that's going to
fall
on our side.
It's in Roosevelt.
Yeah.
But it's going to fall on 571.
It's going to fall across 571 and block the first aid
power,
from
power lines, too. Yeah. I'll take it all there.
Yeah. 571 by the power lines.
On this side of the power line.
Yeah, if you're driving, you'll say, I know what he's talking about. Yeah.
It's easier to see coming this way than it is going there.
Yeah, it's definitely a leaner, and it's probably about 4 feet in diameter. Mm-hmm. All right, another. When this referendum is said and done, is what is voted going to be upheld, or is there going to be allowed to be more of the same beating the horse?
Once
when it's done, is it going to be done?
Yes. If it is voted yes, if it's upheld, yes, it'll be done.
So there's going to be no chance for appeal. There's going to be, this is it. This is the done.
The done, right.
Okay. Thank you.
Not the same if it's a no, by the way, just so we're clear. I don't want to get accused of having misled you.
Okay.
Anybody else in the public who has any questions? Just something to say. Mr. Markunis.
taller for me. Good evening, everybody. My name is David Markunas. I'm chairman of the Board of Fire Commissioners of Millstone Township. I would like to just address a couple points, if I could, just to make sure that everybody has some clear information. First of all, there's been a lot of discussion about what Millstone has said about the plans here in Roosevelt. I can offer that we are not professional engineers. We're not licensed architects. We make no evaluations on the designs, the costs, or any of the considerations that have gone into the plans for the firehouse that is proposed, the firehouse and first aid squad building that is proposed here for Millstone. We are strictly dealing with fire safety, fire prevention, and firefighting operations from our town and what we can provide to this town as well. So I want to make sure that's very clear. Secondly, and I don't mean this to be confrontational, but the idea of contracting with Monroe and then expecting a mutual aid agreement to be honored with that we have with Applegarth and Monroe to expect to us to provide service here in Millstone, or excuse me, in Roosevelt, doesn't faithfully honor what a mutual aid agreement should be. We feel that sort of circumvents the process, and we would have to really reevaluate what our mutual aid agreement with Roosevelt is at that time. It doesn't pass the smell test for us at that point. So I want to make sure that everybody's very clear. If you're heading in this direction, there's still going to be another negotiation down the road somewhere else. Similarly, I would like you to look to some of your neighboring communities. Allentown and Hope Fire Company have similar arrangements that you would if you went to Monroe, if you were to contract with Monroe. Allentown has a very contentious and unsettled relationship with their firefighting in those two communities. Because of the price, the contract, some of the same issues that we're dealing with today, I would tell you, fast forward, look at them, and you will see exactly where you're going to find yourself several years from now.
Allentown, Upper Freehold?
Correct.
Yeah. That relationship.
Yes.
So it's been bad.
They've attempted to contract with Robbinsville. Robbinsville entertained it for a little while and then declined.
Right.
So they're in much the same boat that I think that you folks all find yourselves in here as well.
Or possibly.
as it may be. I will tell you that Millstone, during the time that all this has been going on, Millstone has continued to provide service to the residents of Roosevelt. We are pleased to continue to provide that service. Again, we feel that it honors the mutual aid program. So we ask you to strongly consider the measures that are before you. And again, if you think that there's something that we need to talk about, we are available to have a conversation at any time regarding any fire protection, fire safety, or firefighting operations between our two communities. Thank you.
I would, Mr. Markunas, like to make one comment. I would refer to you as too modest, but I know you too well. You keep referring to fire safety, fire operations, and this is a matter that keeps coming up again and again. The fire department, I think, to quote you, is more properly called an emergency department. The fire department handles gas leaks, alarms, road issues, wires down, and fires. And I probably, motor vehicle accidents, I probably missed a whole slew. And I'm only bringing it up because we have this conversation continually of how many fires have we had in the last 5 years. Well, we haven't had many. We've had a couple. On the other hand, we've had between 24 and 36 fire calls in town over the last 8 or 10 years on average. So I would just point out that we appreciate your fire safety, fire operations, and motor vehicles, wires down, roads closed, leaking pipes, gas, alarms, etc. And you guys have always backed up our guys, and when we didn't really have our guys, you backed us up anyway. So regardless of what happens, we appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Anybody else in the public who has something to say, or does everybody want to go out and get a drink? Yes, please do.
I can't really compare it to that, but Devlin R. 5 Elm Court. I just have a question, and I'll talk to you, Peggy. When were the fire department asked to have a meeting? I would just like to know. when were they asked to have a meeting and speak with them as she was speaking?
Well, I think that was Mr. Trammell, not
speak to Joe.
Okay, Joe. Okay. Yeah.
I spoke with your husband, and then I tried to speak with Chris Sook, who was at that point head of the fire department, I believe.
Okay.
And got no response from him. And when we went to speak with Dave Markunas here, I called and asked
Dan
Archer to come with us. And got no response from him, but now I understand I called the house phone instead of his cell phone.
Okay.
So at that point, what we were doing, we were, because none of us are fire people, we're just civilians,
right.
We're trying to learn what it was about to have a fire department, what the requirements were, what we needed, and what the surrounding fire departments were all about. And we were into that, and we met with Dave, and then I didn't make the next meeting to put my report in, so subsequently we wound up meeting with Jim over at Applegarth.
I'm curious why we couldn't have mailed that report to everybody by email, but I get the surprise option.
And then in looking over your investigations with speaking with all of these professionals, I've noticed that it seems to be, although we've been told, the community's been told that you guys are very for the fire department and very for everything we do as a fire department, it doesn't seem like any information was brought forward as to less costly options for the fire department. Everybody talks about it, but it seems that everything that you guys have researched has been why we should not have a fire department. I don't see too much in there about what we could do to really have a very successful fire department and what we could do to make it better. It seems a little lopsided.
Well, again, we're not fire people. We're civilians.
Right.
I would love if the fire department put a complete itemized plan together to show us beyond what Jeff's proposal for $571,000 is. I looked actually at April's breakdown of fire department needs for 2016, and if that could be itemized out to show what it would cost to implement that report that she did, I have no idea what that would cost. So I think
the problem is that you didn't really speak to anybody who has any of that information. You spoke to every other department around.
With April.
We spoke to the fire marshal of Monmouth County.
Yeah, and again, can I just say one other thing? And if anybody would like this information, you wanted information about, I understand professional is paid, and if you're not paid, you're maybe not professional. But I'm sure I could probably show anyone in the town here that is interested. This is my husband's personal certifications for firefighting pages by the state, by POSHA, by everything. So I think a lot of these guys here as well have plenty of certifications that may not make them professional because they're not paid, but they give their time. And if anybody took 5 minutes to really talk to our Roseville Fire Department, they would probably see that we are quite professional in our own way. That's what I wanted to say.
I don't see that as the issue. No one's debating the merits of the fire department at all. It's simply that times have changed, and it's extremely difficult. We're not small. We're tiny.
We've always been tiny, Peggy.
To sustain our, but the times are different, and it's very difficult to sustain our own services. We've shown that we haven't done a good job. Obviously, the firehouse is falling apart.
Correct.
The fire department was in complete
but
disarray.
But that's not us. We have fundraised.
I'm just saying,
we have
complete
the town has been very generous, yes. And we've survived because of them, and we really appreciate that. But
well, I'm just saying the issue is not the merits of the fire department or its members.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different time now, and it's very, very difficult.
It's not exactly what your report said.
No, that's
not what your report
said. There's nothing in there that's positive, but I think people from the town can read the letter and they can kind of decide that that's the case.
I don't want to be seen as someone who's not understanding the merits of the fire department or its members. It's volunteer. We've discussed this more times than I can count. Volunteerism is dying.
It's not.
Well, it is. It may not be here right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody would like to look in.
You hungry?
Sharon Unger, 21 Farm Lane. My question is, like, we talk about the different going out to the different fire companies. Do you remember Sandy, when the town was pretty much blocked in?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get out for, what, 2 days? So if it was something to happen, or when we had to construct, when they redid 571, how can these other fire companies make it here in a time frame that is given to us on a good, clear day?
You weren't here, but Mr. Marcuna spoke about that quite a few months ago, and there were many parts of Millstone that they were also not able to reach. There were towns all over Monmouth County that were not reachable.
Yeah, but if we had a firehouse in the middle of town
and
here,
he stated
she is speaking, Ms. Malcolm. She hasn't asked a question.
Well, but she's saying something that has been addressed, but she wasn't here to hear it.
How do you know?
Oh, let's not go down that road. I'm not being there to hear it.
I've heard how many different versions, different this. If you go to, God forbid, if you go to the post office anymore, you get pretty much harassed by people that I don't even see them here, but they're one person is part of the first aid squad.
No,
he's not. The used to be a mayor.
Mr. Marco.
Yeah, Mr. Marco. I really didn't. But I mean, but there was two people there. They're going in there. They're right by the front door as you walk by, and they go, but you know, they're talking about like the firehouse of this or that. People are moving out because of this firehouse and all that. And I said, hey, I voted for the firehouse. You know. And then I immediately got into, well, how could you do that? Blah, 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 blah. You know, you're driving the people out with your vote. I said, well, if you're not happy with it personally, and you're not willing to pay taxes, move. If you're not happy living in Roosevelt, you don't have to live here. Nobody has you chained to your house. You know, to the point where that's when I said that, and immediately after that, I got, where do you live at? Who are you? Like, I'm thinking, like, oh my God. You know, should I go home? Should I drive away? I mean, that's what our town is coming to. And it's not the majority. It's a few. But those few we keep bending over backwards for, you know, like the last meeting, there was a gentleman that stood up here, you know, was talking about the tie. You know, yeah, there was a tie vote to begin with because a lot of people didn't have information. Information went out. We had a second. She's making a lovely, her lovely little smirk.
Yes, it's okay.
Okay. So the information went out. We voted. It was a landslide that it won. But then you got these certain little people go, you know, there's things I voted for that didn't go through. There's people I voted for. You know, you go on with life. You wait. If it's not good, next time the vote comes up, you vote them out then. Well, that's it. So call up your goons.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak? Yes,
Jeff,
sir.
I'm sorry. I want to address that. That was unfair and uncalled for, and I have nothing to do. You have never seen me at the post office. I have nothing to do with whatever goes on there.
Right. Yeah. Sam Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. Just real quick, that's the first time I've heard a story like that. And, you know, we want a fire department, but even if someone does not want a fire department, that's disgusting. And you could back yourself off of it all you want, but we know who's the head of that whole little posse, and you should honestly be ashamed of yourself. That's all.
God.
Good job, Sam.
Is there anybody else from the public who has any questions, comments, or anything they'd like to say? Into the microphone. Yes, Mr. Muser.
Kurt Muser again.
Yes.
I was out working in my yard yesterday.
Okay.
I was visiting.
Okay. Please.
I was out working in my yard yesterday. I was visited by two people walking through town, our councilman, Mr. Hamilton, and Mrs. Parrott. And he comes up, hi, how are you doing, blah, blah, blah. You want an absentee ballot for the election and stuff? No, I intend to vote. I'll be there. Oh, so what do you think about what's going on here? How are you feeling about the firehouse and stuff? I was like, you know, that's really none of your business. I don't feel like discussing it. But it was like they were trying to pump me for an answer. And it wasn't cool. You know, I find it unethical. I don't know if it is or not. He didn't come right out and tell me, well, you should vote against the firehouse or, you know, how are you going to vote? But it was like he was trying to pry it out of me.
Well, he's certainly entitled to suggest how he thinks you should vote.
Right.
But if you don't want to answer, you're absolutely entitled to say, thank you very much for your time,
yeah,
and
I
move
just,
on.
You know, it really, really left a bad taste in my mouth. You know, it's like none of your business.
Thank you. Anybody else want to? Mr. Shiner? Did I get it wrong?
Excuse me?
Said, did I get our conversation wrong?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I just want to tell you, firemen, I got a lot of respect for you. You do what you have to do. You take care of business. Good luck with it, however the vote comes out. But I do want to say,
Gary, who are you?
I'm Gary Shiner. Like, you don't know me. You're the one.
No, but you're,
like,
but you're supposed to
accuse me of talking to your relative, which I don't know how he can vote on anything if he's your relative because you drive the fire truck. That's a conflict of interest. No, you drive the ambulance.
No.
That's a conflict of interest.
She's not even on
but
the...
But anyway, for the firemen. I think it's appalling how you can have a fireman here last month. F this, F that. Fix the bathrooms. I'm closing up the towers. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. And how the borough lets this guy stay on the fire department... It's beyond me. You take no action to a guy who represents the fire department. And I just don't understand it. But to the rest of you guys, God bless you and your job.
Thank you. Anybody else want to comment or have a question? Do I have a motion, please?
Second.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? We are adjourned at... We are adjourned at 9. Oh, did you want?
You adjourned. Just leave it. It's enough.
Okay.
Jeff, can I just say...
Adjourned at 9:08. Yes, ma'am.
Anybody who's accredited and licensed as an EMT or a firefighter in the state of New Jersey is a professional. So let's not keep dumbing down the volunteer work. You're either paid or volunteer. But we